This recording is a production of Anabaptist Financial. More recordings are available on our website at www.afweb.org under the Resources menu or by calling 800-653-9817. This presentation was recorded at a business seminar held on October 21, 2025 in Goshen, Indiana.
Okay, welcome back from lunch. Next we have something we haven't tried before, so if it's a flop, it's probably my fault. We're going to have a panel discussion, and actually if it's a flop, it's great because we're talking about when the going gets, and mistakes we've made, and the interesting thing, I don't know how many of you have made, has anybody made a mistake, ever? Really? only a few of I only found a few guys that were willing to share their mistakes. So most of you guys say, it's okay, it's not that bad, whatever. So thanks to these panel guys for being willing to share. Probably one of the hardest things to share is sometimes our mistakes. So Floyd Miller from FD, Malin Bontrager, and Myron Yoder are the guys that are going to be sharing today. Floyd's going to be first. Floyd, 49-year-old father. He has been married for 27 years. His wife is incredibly patient with his ideas and business challenges. So I can definitely relate to that. He enjoys planting trees on his hobby farm, conversations, deep conversations, dark chocolate, and black coffee. So come on up, Floyd. He's going to share a little bit. And we're hoping you can get some inspiration. You're not alone in your challenges, and we'll turn it over to Floyd.
Good afternoon. So I feel pretty vulnerable here, but we'll give it a shot. So we've been in business 25 years now. We started in 2000. I was 23 years old, very naive, but had a dream. I wanted to get out of the factory. Grew up on a dairy farm, but I didn't. I worked in the factory. When I went in, I knew it was going to be a short-term, I wanted to be a short-term venture. I was just there to make money, but I wanted to get out. So this opportunity came up to buy this feed business, and I had zero experience with retailing. And over the years, I've told people I think I've made every mistake that a guy could make. Why I didn't listen to other people's advice, I'm not sure, but I had to learn everything the hard way. But so I'm trying to think where to start. But so the business grew pretty rapidly the first number of years. We were we kept growing, adding people. One of my first lessons in retailing, I remember one of the guys from Purina came out and set our kitchen table, and I laid all my papers out on the table and had got a lesson on I call it inventory turns, inventory or business 101 class that day. But I'll fast forward a couple years here. So in 2016, we bought our second location just around the corner here on County Road 35. We was in a feed mill that's was in business for 40 years. We gave them a down payment. 2 weeks later, the feed mill burned down. Before we had even had closing, the building burned down. But the community rallied together. Like they do in events like that. We rebuilt. So we had our ups and downs all those years. We had challenges with profitability. Our profitability and employee retention, they're always erratic. We never had a clear path of clear profits. Seems like we always had challenges, and we always will have challenges. But so we get to COVID years, and everybody around in this room probably knows what I'm talking about when I say COVID years, because it was a busting time, it was booming time. So in those 3 years, 2020 to 2022, we had 65% growth in 3 years combined. Like we had 10 years, 10%, 27 and 28% growth. In per year for a total of 65% growth. Well, we didn't, our systems, our staff, my leadership wasn't equipped for that kind of growth. So the booming years were harder to handle than the lean years were, because we hit a lot of roadblocks. We ended up getting some high-priced consultants in, and that wasn't, I didn't call them. It was totally a cold call. The guy stopped in, started talking about what they could offer, and we were drowning in business. We had all kinds of business, but things were going rough. Well, guess what? They had the magic bullet. They had the silver bullet that was going to fix this. Well, how are we going to pay for it? Don't worry about that. We've got that. So they had ready and available financing, high-priced interest. Well, we ended up way deeper in debt, and that was about at the peak just before COVID ended. So sales started dropping off again from the boom, and we were just invested big money in consulting. And I had to think back to an accountant we had once. He said, "Those high-priced consultants, if they show up, show up at your business, you run the other way as fast as you can." And if I would have done that, I would have been much better off. I did learn a lot of things, but I had to think that I still made that decision. I could have said no. I could have said, but I didn't. So consulting and coaching has its place, but that was that was a big financial burden that we took on us caused us some more hard times. So had all that debt, and then one of our customers sued us for, well, there was a fertilizer deal, and so we had a lawsuit. $1.9 million is what they were asking for. So, like, we were already drowning in debt. I was questioning if we should continue. How should we even continue in business after all these years we've been in business? How are we going to survive this? So I went to see our guy from our church that was in charge of liability aid, and I told him. And by that time I was ready to hand over the business. Like, take it. You can have it. I mean, I'm not that married to my business. You can have it. And I told Alan, I told him, I'll sell. I mean, I'd be gladly, I'll sell out, hand it over. He says, "No way. No way." He said, "If you want to sell out, you can sell out, but not because of the lawsuit." He said, "That's what we're here for. That's what it's designed to do. No." So we worked through that. And I learned through that situation that the lawyer's primary tool is intimidation. And once I figured that out, that intimidation is their primary tool, that, okay, just be calm, stick to the facts, just be open and transparent. But after our first meeting with Alan, our church guy, and the person, the customer that was suing us, and his attorney, after they left, I was headed out in a separate room. I sobbed like I haven't sobbed in years. That was such a feeling of being loved and taken care of that I had never experienced before. That was such a deep feeling of being taken care of. And my appreciation for our church and our community had never been higher than it is now and at that point, because I could feel there was genuine care. They were taking care of us. So we worked through that, and we had pretty significant losses from that, because we obviously the lawsuit got taken care of, but we had some other losses that we were still on top of this coaching debt, the consulting debt, then we had this. And so there's still a lot of struggles, like, do we keep going? So one morning we had a church guys meeting from our church that we get together like monthly, or coffee break, just to you know, we're all like home businesses. So one morning it was that we were hosting it at our house, and I cried again to him. I told him, I can't do this anymore. This is, life is too short. We've got a daughter getting married. We've got a grandchild, and I will not conduct business like this. Either we do something about it, we fix it, or we sell out. Will you help me? I said, sure we will. And since then, we've been meeting every 2 to 3 weeks. We get together, and I show them, air out all my dirty laundry. So what I figured out is, as businessmen, a lot of people in the community, they look up to us like, we've got this. We've got 2 locations, we've got 2 stores, and I can take the day off and go to the wedding, and people say things like, you got it made, you got business keeps going, and you take a day off. Yes, that's true. But I discovered we build this facade, we build this front that everything's cool, everything's real good. Yeah, we got 2 locations, money's just rolling in. If only they knew. So we've got this image to protect. We've got this image, so we've got to think, make them, keep them thinking that everything's good, when in fact it's not. When in fact it wasn't good. But by that time, my wall was all the way down. I don't care if they know it. I don't care who knows it. We need help. And they're still walking with us. And I'm not sure that we've changed so many business practices. Yes, we've shaved. We've shaved all the costs we can shave. But things have turned around dramatically. And we've made a major change in profitability. We're more profitable this year than we've ever been. And I'm like, why? We haven't really changed that many things. But, yeah, we have changed some things, but it was just in being open and transparent, and I discovered there was much more pride in my heart than what I realized. There's a verse somewhere, I think, that it says, your heart is deceitful. Something to that effect. You can think it. But I discovered if I get rid of my, I don't have anything, I laid everything out. Aired out all my dirty laundry or mispractices or whatever in business. And then this morning, something happened this morning wow. Because for years, there's this little verse, I have these favorite verses. For years, already in the morning, I think, verses in my mind, like, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. See if there be wicked way in me. And lead me on the way everlasting. So that's one of my favorite verses. This morning I was out walking, and as I try to practice in the morning when it's still dark and the stars are out, I talk out loud. I talk to God out loud. And all of a sudden I stop, and I was thinking about today, what do I have to share? All of a sudden this morning, wow, search me, O God. Isn't that what he did? I think he revealed the pride in my heart, and that's exactly what he did. That's what I got out of it. So I look back now, and I look at these challenges that we had, and they were challenges. They were rough to go through, but I can see a lot of positives that came out of that. I've got a much deeper appreciation for our employees, like I've never had before. I have a much deeper appreciation for our church and our community, like I've never had before. Or not to that extent. So what I would encourage anybody that needs help or that's having challenges, our church is there for a reason. We have a church. I found it kind of interesting that we can go borrow all the money we can borrow, all our money we can get our hands on. We can do it and nobody has to know about it. We can do everything we want to do. But once we get in a hard spot, once we get between a brick in a hard place, who helps us out? Church. The church does. What if I would have What if I would have went to them 10 years ago, 5 years ago? What if I would have asked counsel before we signed on with these high-priced consultants? Yeah, what if? But we don't want to spend a lot of time thinking the what ifs, but that was my experience in a short form. So hopefully that can be beneficial to somebody. So thank you.
Thank you, Floyd. Appreciate the vulnerability and interesting things happen. We look at people from the outside and we say, you know, he's got it made, he's got nice locations, but everybody has challenges in their heart. Next up, we have Malin Bontrager. Malin's got custom curved cabinetry. Woodworker, and I find this fascinating. He likes he can say it.
Good afternoon. What he was trying to say, he had a question on his question. He had write something that nobody or most people don't know about you. So I had wrote down that I'm fascinated with neuroplasticity. Is the brain, the way your brain connects, and the ability for the brain, the changes that can happen in your brain with movement and nutrition and different things. That's not my topic today. I was going to start in with the thought that for all of us to be here, it has... it's taken the grace of God for every one of us and his blessing in order for us to be here, to have a business, to be involved with what we're involved in. We've had ups and downs through our life, and I'm just going to share the latest, probably the challenge that we've had in business. And for us, this started probably, I think it was back in 2023, we had a violation with IDEM. And through that year, getting it figured out, working with them, we had we ended up by the end of the year, with fines and different things that we made better. And we spent about $560,000 by the end of the year. And so we were in a kind of depleted situation with going into the spring of 24. We had one of our customers drop us to go with another vendor. And that's a whole conversation that we're not going to get into. But so it represented about 40% of our business. And with 22 slow down into the 23, it was about a 50% reduction in sales from what we had been back in 22. So we were through the 24 year until for the next or from the it was about 14 months that we had that we were losing money through that, and we had had about 2 months warning. And what we tried to do is bring in people or other customers to replace the lost revenue so that we could continue at the pace we were at. And we had tried different, we partnered with a couple different, we were able to pick up a couple of customers. Some things didn't work out and we weren't able to replace what we lost. And right at the beginning, I had talked to two different people, one locally that had a business, one of them had lost 40%, one 60%, and they were able to, right just in the nick of time, they were able to bring on board enough people so that they could continue with their pace, and everything was just seamless. And that was kind of what I was hoping to accomplish and didn't get there. So as things started ramping up or sliding down, you know, lose $100,000 here, $100,000 there, it does eventually add up. And we got to a point where we were maxed out with our line of credit, and we had put in $600,000 of our own money to try to keep moving, keep going. And we were at a place where it felt like we were our bus was hanging off the edge of the cliff, and we were just kind of tottering there. And I was looking down and into what's next. And I remember just feeling very, very responsible, which I was responsible, but very for my family, for our way of where we live, thinking, asking myself questions, what's this going to look like? What am I going to do next? If I lose everything I've got, what am I going to do next? It might change. And I'm just going to share a couple thoughts before I got to keep moving here. We can change the place we live. We can change what we do. But I realized that the most important things in life I still had. My faith, the church, my family. When Nate asked me to have this talk, I said, I'm not really sure I'm qualified to talk about tough times. We still have all both sets of our parents. We still have all our children. You know, what have I really gone through that's hard? And so that helped me to realize, you know, I can go back, work in the factory. I can work for someone else. I can do that. It's not the end of the world. It's not a point of missing salvation. So one day we got together, and one thing I wanted to mention here is there's a popular thread, and we've had a lot of challenges in our 12 years of business. Started off alone, pretty much first six, 8 years, we just kept doubling in size quickly, and there was a lot of challenges at that rate of growth. But I've never had the challenge of going, knocking that in half and then trying to figure out how to manage that. There's a very popular theory, not theory, there's a lot of coaching and that's geared toward growth. And by the time I woke up to the fact that coaching is not helping me, it's hindering me. People are talking about elevate and delegate. Let other people do stuff. Okay, so if your business is half of what it was, we had to go the opposite way. So we woke up one morning, and this is what basically I told the guys. I said, this box right here is our business. And, you know, this is the raw inputs coming in. This is the raw goods going out. And when we were very responsive, we wanted to be a very responsive business. So we had a lot of people inside there, all the employees inside this business, a lot of people had input into what gets, a lot of our customers had direct contact with the people, with our people on the inside. Doesn't seem like a problem, but it's a distraction. So we did some major things when we got to waking up. How are we going to stop? How are we going to change this? I went back because we've been profitable at this level before. It's not rocket science. So we went back and we looked at a year that we were doing the sales numbers that we were at right then. And we said, what was our labor percentage of sales? What was our COGS percentage of sales? What was our overhead? And what is it now? So our labor percentage was 30%. Now it's 50%. Oh, that's simple math. We got a problem. So what we did is, what do we need to do now to get back to that? Those percentages worked. What do we need to do now to get back to that? So that's what we did. We had a major shakedown. When things are going good, you don't really want to shake things up because you don't want to ruin anything you have that's going good for you. But when things are going bad, anything is available to remodel. So we basically had too many layers, weren't necessary anymore. So we went and said, you know what? We're not going to have a plant manager. We're not going to have a production manager. And then me on top of that, I'm going to step down. Everybody's stepping down. I'm going to be the plant manager now. Cut out two layers right there. Everybody's going to step down, and we're going to have as many hands working on actual product as possible. We're going to get rid of, eliminate distractions, no more smartphones in the building, all the cell phones for the managers, the computers, the emails coming in, everything is getting shut off except for one incoming person that gets to check emails and get calls, and the rest of the people are going to be working. That was a shock to everybody. And then one of the things that the reason we said no more phones, we had non-Amish workers, we told them no more smartphones in this building. The reason was to get the message across, we want zero distractions. We want everybody's focus on eliminating waste, improving productivity and efficiency. That's what we're here for. If we can't do that, no one's going to have a job. And that was a turning point right there. And we lost one person through the shuffle that felt kind of responsible, I think, for not making changes that could have been changed sooner. And for me, I feel like the whole responsibility was on me. I could have done that way prior. If I would have had it to do, a lesson I learned now is when things slow down with it. Don't try to, you know, keep beating the horse and try to keep it going. Face the facts, accept where you're at, and scale accordingly. Not sure. There's a lot of other things. My time's up. I want to just say, if we're in the kingdom of God, the best is yet to come.
Thank you, Malin. Appreciate that. Losing half your business, going back to where you left off. Same thing applies if we lose God somewhere, we go back to where we lost him. So appreciate what you shared there, Malin. Next we have Myron Yoder. Myron and his wife, Luann, have been married for 16 years, 7 children, started out a small retail shop, Premier Optics, and then transitioned over to Middlebury General Store. This might be more of a personal story that the others are all applied to us as well, but more of a personal story we can all apply to. So, Myron.
Good afternoon, everybody. I was just sitting back there and looking out across the crowd, and I was thinking, it's amazing the difference in the different personalities and the different businesses that God has brought together today. We have manufacturing, we have sales, we've got construction workers here. It's across the board, and we would all say that we think that we've been led to this by God to do this. And what Paul said, to bring the kingdom down to the earthly level so we can be a light to the world. And that's what my longing is in my business world, business practice, is to be that light. Be that light to each individual that walks into that door so they can leave with a good feeling. My goal is that they can leave feeling better than they did when they walked in. I had no clue what I was going to do. When I married my wife back in 2009, and I think that rings a bell to a lot of you guys, business was slow in this area. RV businesses were practically non-existent. That first year of marriage was a decent struggle, to say the least. We had, just a little note of interest here, we had took down a lot of numbers. We had it down to where we could eat for $2.63 a meal for both of us. The second year of marriage, if I'm thinking properly, I think I grossed about $27,000. And that's hard to grasp in this day and age, how much it's that we think that we need to make a living. And I remember sitting at home in the kitchen table and drumming my fingers. I remember this vividly. And I was asking my wife, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I do not want to work in the factory for the rest of my life. I don't feel fulfilled when I get home. I don't feel that fulfillment that I'm longing to have. And through that, in 2011, I'm not going to go into a whole lot of depth here, but I started Premier Optics out of my basement. Had my first retail experience in the RV Hall of Fame in a gun show with about $2,300 worth of merchandise. And that's where I made my first sales. The business grew. We moved downtown to Middlebury, bought a little shop there. And then we got the opportunity. At that point, I put in footwear. I don't know why I thought footwear would mesh better with optics than guns. But I have always loved footwear. And that's, I think that was God's way of leading me into what I'm doing today. Footwear is still where my heart is. Yeah, I've noticed what kind of shoes a lot of you guys are wearing. But that is one thing that I did notice. Going into about 5 years ago, we got the opportunity to buy the building that we're in now. Used to be the Cinnamon Steak, an old brick and mortar store downtown Middlebury. And in that time, I went from part-time into the factory. At the time in the factory, I was running, going in at 5 o'clock in the morning, working till 9 o'clock, running to the store, opening the doors, and I was there. Usually got home around 5:30. Did that for a couple years, and then that fateful day in January, one of my friends got his hands in a table saw in Winnebago at that time, and he was part-time. So I give him the honor of giving me the door out of there. I was part-time as well. Corporate from Iowa said, no more part-timers. They're all released. I got home that evening and I told my wife, I don't know where we're going, but we're going. I was noticing all these ladies coming into the store with the same kind of shoe on. And they had to go out to Goshen or Elkhart, actually Elkhart or Mishawaka, to get this pair of shoes. And I was determined to find something that was going to take the place of that so they do not need to get a driver to go out there. That was my perspective. That spring of 2019, we went to Shoe Show up in Detroit, and I spent my time, that's what my main focus was finding this shoe, and I found him. I found that shoe, and I noticed a few of you guys have some of those on in here. But it's the, at that time, it was the number one selling running shoe in the nation. And I walked up to this, up to the rep, and I said, I told him who I was, what my store was, and I'm opening a new division, and I would love to put your shoes in. He opened me up. And on top of that, he promised me a 20-mile radius of protection. A 20-mile radius of protection. No other retailer in a 20-mile radius will be able to put that brand of shoe in without my consent. I was on top of the world because I knew what that shoe was. I never wore a pair in my life, but I recognized it, and I knew what it was. I bought in, I placed a bunch of futures, I got home, and I started advertising. With a product like that, I knew it would bring value to every person that was going to pay $120 and get one of those pair of shoes. I brought them in, I started marketing. I spent thousands of dollars marketing this product. And at the same time, I was rebranding my store from Premier Sporting Optics and Footwear to General Store of Middlebury. I spent a lot of money. And anybody out here that has ever rebranded a product knows what all goes into that. But I tied this product right into my store brand, and I grew these two together. Within that first year, this shoe jumped up to being my number one selling shoe out of the store. And it was like that in 2021, 22, 23, and going into 24, I still felt good about it. This shoe was still gaining traction every month, every year. In the fall of 2024, I got a phone call from my rep. He said, there's a store inside of this 20-mile radius that would like to open up with us. How do you feel about that? Being who I am and where I was, I struggled with that thought. I really did. But I told him I didn't ask for that promise of the 20-mile radius, but you offered it to me. I spent thousands of dollars advertising your product. I've shown growth every year, so I guess it's your choice. It's your word. In 2005, January, Detroit Shoe Show, I was up there, walked in, he greeted me like normal. We sat down, we went through the whole product layout. I wrote up a huge at-once order. I wrote up a bunch of futures, like normal. Dated them all the way up to November. The second week in February, he calls me and tells me he opened up another store, 7 miles from my store. You can imagine the emotions. So we're talking on the shoe sale side, this was 30 to 35% of the product going out of my door. And where this shoe was being sold, about 75% of my customer base of this shoe was within 2 miles from this store. I wanted to pick that phone up and call my rep, but I let it lie. I had a good working relationship with this store. I appreciate them. They helped me out in a lot of different ways. I thought we had a good relationship. I was getting to the point, this carried on for a couple months, that I just didn't, I wanted to call him. Every time I went to pick up the phone to call my friend at the other store, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I imagined, looking back now, I was imagining things. But I was dealing with a lot of emotions. I was losing sleep. I was figuring out how am I going to bring something in that's going to take the place of what I had in front of me, that I branded with my store. One morning I woke up, and in my thoughts, this was the thought that I was thinking, take relationship over business. And I tried to contemplate exactly what he was trying to tell me. Why can't I get rid of this thought? Why can't I get rid of this thought? The time came where I was sitting there on the desk and I was mulling over this thing again. And I went back to what brought me to this point of bringing this shoe in. And everything started making sense. I listened to my customers. I listened to my customers. They were asking me for something that I wanted to fulfill. They were asking me for a shoe. At that time, the shoe those ladies were wearing, the Nike Shox, had changed. They weren't the same shoe anymore, and they weren't happy with that. And they thought that was the only shoe that was available. But I found something that took that place. That shoe was 5 years old. And it made sense. That's why my competitor brought those shoes in. They were listening to their customers. They were listening to their customers. I know them well enough. There was nothing personal between us. And that made me stop and look at the big picture. For every door that closes, there's other doors that open. And ladies and gentlemen, you cannot see that door swing open if you are holding emotions inside of you. God does not lead you to that door if you are holding ill feelings against your business partners. What I learned through that whole ordeal, a deeper trust for God. He does not lead us. I'm a firm believer. He does not lead us into business to fail. There's always reasons for stuff that happens in our business world. There's always reasons for what goes on in your day-to-day travels, in your day-to-day business. We have to be open and willing to see where that is. I started listening to my customers. I started looking with a brand new vigor. I found something. I found something. I heard what they were screaming. But I didn't know where to reach. Literally two days after I decided what brand I was going to bring in and what style I was going to go for, I got a call. Hey, Myron, this is Andrew Schlegel. Do you remember me? It started ringing a bell. 10 years before that, I was dealing with him as a rep for another product. He said, "Hey, I just picked up this new brand of shoes, and I wanted you. Said, I remember you, and I loved working with you, and I want you to put these in your store. Would you do that for me?" God works in mysterious ways. That was the brand that I was looking at. That was the exact brand that I was thinking that I want to add in. For every door that closes, another door opens. And the biggest thing that I learned through all this, relationships in our business world, relationships with your customer, relationships with your competitor, and relationships with your reps and with your suppliers is of utmost importance. If we truly want to be a light, they are the ones that are going to see the light of your life. My time is up. I want to thank everybody for coming out tonight. And seek ye first the kingdom of God. Thank you.